Iranian newspapers this morning say that the death toll in Saturday's movie theater fire in Abadan has now climbed to 430. The official government total stands at 377. But the newspapers say that some of the badly burned survivors have died. The fire was set deliberately, and the government reports that 10 suspects have been arrested. The regime blames the arson on Saturday on opponents of reforms instituted by the Shah.
There was another disturbance in Iran, though a small one compared to the recent violence in that country. Liz Fulton has this report.
Scores of students galloped down a main thoroughfare, hurling rocks at windows, but they quickly disappeared before police could move in. Today's incident was minor compared to the anti-Shah riot in the bazaar area of Tehran 3 days ago and the riots in southern cities, which have left at least 15 dead since the beginning of the week. The latest anti-Shah riots are viewed by diplomatic sources as a dangerous combination of the Muslim conservatives and members of the banned Communist Party. The Shah appears to remain in firm control of the army, the police force, and the government chief. Liz Fulton for CBS News, Tehran.
Today, the Shah announced a continued military buildup because of what he called the chaotic state of some neighboring countries.
American companies operating in Iran today told their employees to restrict their travel. There have been rumors of more anti-government demonstrations and possible violence against the Shah of Iran.
Iranian officials say only a handful of strikers have now returned to their jobs for the state-run oil monopoly. The company had threatened the strikers with dismissal and arrest. However, there are no reports the threat is being carried out as yet. The walkout has all but shut down the oil industry in Iran, the second biggest oil power in the Middle East. Oil is the mainstay of the Iranian economy. The oil workers continue to demand political reforms. The Shah has already granted their demand for a pay hike of more than 20%. Clashes between strikers and soldiers in the oil belt are said to have claimed 9 lives today. And a major religious figure opposed to the Shah charged that President Carter is complicating the Iranian crisis by continuing to support the Shah and his regime.
Iran's official news agency reports at least 9 people, including 1 soldier, were killed yesterday in anti-government demonstrations. Violence occurred in 2 towns in Iran's strike-bound southern oil belt. Today, United Press International reporter Leon Daniel says the streets of the capital city, Tehran, were quiet, with a strike called by the opposition National Front continuing.
Yes, certainly it's quiet for the most part. The strike appears to be very effective in the bazaar in the center of the city. Shops are closed in the bazaar. The National Front, the opposition, claims that the strike is also effective, particularly effective south of the bazaar.
The National Iran Oil Company has denied a report. The army has taken over the pumps to get the oil flowing again from the Iranian fields. A spokesman said it's a ridiculous idea because the troops, by and large, lack the skill needed to operate all the machinery. And the nationally owned oil monopoly in Iran today issued what it called an ultimatum to the striking oil field workers. Back to work, they said, or they'll be fired.
Anti-government disorders broke out again today in Iran. Doug Tunnell reports what happened.
University clashed with police and Iranian troops today in the latest of a series of demonstrations against the regime of Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. Throwing stones and lighting fires in the streets surrounding the university, the students chanted "Down with the Shah" in open defiance of the regime. The soldiers responded by firing over the demonstrators' heads and hurling tear gas canisters into the campus area. Of all the factions that make up the anti-Shah forces in Iran now, the students are perhaps the least numerous but most volatile. They have joined ranks with religious leaders, workers, and others in Iran in calling for an end to martial law in 12 Iranian cities and for the release of political prisoners from the country's jails. Justice Ministry officials said that they believe that most of the country's political prisoners will be set free in coming months, but that has done little to stop the Shah's opposition from demanding what it calls a traditional Muslim government with a coalition of leftist politicians and the nation's religious leaders at its head. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Tehran.
Although Tunnell did say that police fired over the students' heads, there are unconfirmed reports that at least 30 people were killed. Radio Iran says anti-government demonstrations have taken place in 3 other cities, but it gives no details. There are signs that the oil workers' strike in southern Iran may be petering out, and Saudi Arabia's oil minister says his country could increase its own production if the oil strike in Iran caused a shortage. But the oil minister does not see the need for any such action at the moment.
Thousands of people marched to the Tehran Cemetery, where many victims of recent clashes between government troops and protesters are buried. Anti-American demonstrators today set fire to the headquarters of the Grumman Aircraft Company in Isfahan, but nobody was injured. More foreigners are leaving the country, among them dependents of American military personnel and of civilians engaged in defense work. We'll hear about that from CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas.
The Pentagon is avoiding using the word evacuation to discuss the departure of military dependents from Iran. There is the fear that the very word evacuation might trigger panic in the tense Persian Gulf nation and further erode the Shah's position. But the Pentagon, on orders from President Carter, is offering to pay the airfare out for military dependents and those of Defense Department civilian workers if they choose to leave Iran. Officials hope that the offer will dramatically increase the voluntary exodus that's already underway. They estimate around 4,000 dependents have fled Iran since the rioting began, most of them the wives and children of employees of private American firms doing defense contract work in that country. But an estimated 37,000 Americans, including 900 uniformed military personnel, are still in the country. The military men and women will stay at their posts in Iran, even if their families choose to leave. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
In Iran, is it the calm before the storm? No one knows as the critical religious holidays tomorrow and Monday approach. Massive street demonstrations are feared then, but on what seems to be a quiet Saturday, the evacuation of American dependents from Tehran continues. Don Kladstrup reports.
Companies chartered flights for workers' dependents, while the Air Force provided planes for those of U.S. servicemen. But those leaving insisted they were not fleeing the country, like Gary and Marsha Parker of Boston, Massachusetts, who said they were concerned about the situation here, but did not feel they were part of some mass exodus.
I think evacuation right now is the wrong word. I haven't seen any evacuation.
Companies are flying their dependents and
some
employees.
Some companies are, yeah.
Some aren't. The helicopter is here. Lockheed is here. Those people aren't leaving. They're staying.
While the airport was crowded, it was not chaotic, and there was no sign of panic. Most people said they would return after the holidays. In the past few months, about 5,000 Americans have left Iran, a small percentage of the 40 or 50,000 Americans that live here. As one person leaving tried to explain, look, don't quote me, but for a lot of us here, it's just a free trip home. Don Kladstrup, CBS News, Tehran.
The Washington Post reports today that the departure of the dependents was delayed by heated dispute within the Carter administration. Some officials arguing the evacuation would indicate a loss of U.S. confidence in the ability of the Shah's government to survive.
Demonstrations against the Shah broke out again today in Tehran for the third day in a row. Randy Daniels has the latest.
Thousands of Iranian dissidents gathered again today all over Tehran to voice their opposition to the Shah. At a large hospital named for the Iranian monarch, nearly 3,000 doctors, nurses, and hospital workers heard opposition leader Karim Sanjabi call for a change of government. Sanjabi assured his audience that he told the Shah in their last meeting together that the time had come for the Shah's departure from Iranian politics. As Sanjabi spoke, a group of Iranian soldiers stationed just outside hospital grounds yelled insults at the demonstrators trying to force a confrontation. The doctors called the rally to show support for university professors and students who want Tehran University reopened and the troops there removed. In other parts of the city, high school and college students gathered in small groups of 100 or so, burning refuse in the streets and shouting anti-Shah slogans before being dispersed by troops. But they regrouped quickly to resume their demonstration. There were no incidents at the American embassy today after yesterday's attack, but Iranian soldiers are standing guard there as a precaution. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Tehran.
Scattered strikes against the Iranian government continue in the southern oil fields, and CBS News correspondent Doug Tunnell, in London after touring the Middle East, reports the international impact of the walkouts.
The strikes in Iran's oil fields cost that country its title as the world's second-largest oil exporter by the time the 13 OPEC nations met in Abu Dhabi. According to oil experts, Iran's dropping output left a 5 million barrel a day shortage on the world's oil market. One reason why OPEC decided on quarterly price increases in 1979 that will put the cost of their oil at a full 14.5% more by the end of the year. Saudi Arabia's oil minister, Ahmed Zaki Yamani, explained.
There is a shortage in the market. And the law of supply and demand is something we cannot control. The absence of 5 million barrels from the market caused a severe shortage, especially when you are in the winter. I think the situation is rather serious, and the Iranian crisis must come to an end before we really suffer.
Yamani said that since the Iranian workers went out on strike, Saudi Arabia had raised its production levels to the limit, a full 12 million barrels a day, but that even that was just not enough oil to go around. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, London.
CBS News. Massive confusion over reports that the Shah of Iran has agreed to step aside, reports denied by the Shah's spokesman. I'm Richard C. Hartlett, reporting on the CBS radio network. 2 minutes ago, Randy Daniels, our correspondent in Tehran, said he had the latest, and we ring him up. It all began about an hour and a half ago. The world was electrified by a report from Tehran that Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi had agreed to leave Iran temporarily, handing his powers over to a regency council. News organizations at once began to check and ran into a tangle of different versions. The Shah has been negotiating with a political leader of the opposition, National Front, to form a new cabinet replacing the military government installed by the Shah earlier this month. We now have that report from Randy Daniels in Tehran.
Iranian lawyer and businessman Shapir Bakhtir has reached agreement with the Shah to form a new civilian government. According to palace sources, the new government is expected to be formed within 24 hours. The source denied earlier reports that the Shah would be leaving Iran for an unspecified period of time as a condition of the agreement. Iran's new prime minister designate is 56 years old and served in the government of former leftist prime minister Mohammad Mossadegh, the man the Shah toppled from power with CIA help in 1953. Bakhtir has a history of opposition to the Shah's government and was even jailed for speaking out against the Shah. Bakhtir is said to be a moderate and to have strong influence within the National Opposition Front, even though its leader, Karim Sanjabi, opposes Bakhtir's approach to solving Iran's political crisis. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Tehran.
The sources in the palace earlier had told Randy Daniels that the Shah's powers would be reduced in the new system. He would, for instance, remain commander-in-chief of the armed forces, but a civilian appointed by the new prime minister would be minister of war. As to continuation of martial law, the palace sources told Daniels the new prime minister would decide when and if to make a change, depending on the political situation.
CBS News. There have been conflicting reports from Iran, but a spokesman for the Shah says he is not abdicating, not leaving the country, even temporarily, only appointing a civilian government with a moderate opposition leader, Shapur Bakhtir, at its helm. I'm Stephanie Shelton, reporting on the CBS radio network. Bakhtir says the palace has already drawn up a cabinet list. In a television interview in West Germany last night, Bakhtir said the Shah would be welcome to stay in Iran under his new government if he guaranteed human rights. Iran has been in turmoil this week. Fuel rationing, many businesses and industries shut down, more and more street violence. The CBS News correspondent Bert Quint says it's the closing down of the oil fields that really hurts.
It's this blow to the economy that really is forcing the Shah to make concession after concession. It's quite possible that Khomeini and Sanjabi, these are the two major opposition leaders, will not go along with a civilian government or any kind of a government until the Shah formally abdicates, in which case the violence could continue, the demonstrations could continue, the strikes could continue, and this new government to be formed by Bakhtir could be as ineffectual as the previous one.
Correspondent Bert Quint in Tehran. In Oakland, California, the National Iranian Students Association was holding a convention when word came of the changing situation in Iran. Early reports had the Shah stepping down and leaving the country, since strongly denied, and Donna Maskaher describes the students' reaction then.
As you can hear, about 3,000 people here in the convention are chanting, the enemy of the toiling masses, this American Shah must be destroyed. The whole hall is up, people are chanting with clenched fists, and the reaction of the people to this victory of our people back in Iran is tremendous. This was the greatest news that any patriotic Iranian possible in the United States, anywhere in the world, or in Iran could possibly hear today.
Earlier, in Washington, administration officials said the aircraft carrier Constellation and its escorts will be ordered from the Philippines to the South China Sea. From there, it would be an easy run to the Persian Gulf if a show of U.S. force were needed near Iran, but officials say that order has not been given.
A lot of people have been considered opposition leaders in the last year, and within a very short while, they have changed sides as soon as they've shown where they stand politically on the issues that are the hot issues of the day in Iran. The issue of the Shah has been something over which thousands of people have been killed. You cannot expect the people just to calm down as soon as someone like Bakhtiar goes to the other side. Bakhtiar has always called himself an opposition figure. But more than anything else, this act of his shows where he has really been.
The Iranian Students Association is holding its 26th annual convention in Oakland. National Officer Donna Mascahel says the Shah's decision to leave Iran is just another step along the way toward turning Iran into a democracy.
Because leaving the country does not satisfy our revolution. It does not satisfy our people completely. The fact that he has been forced to leave the country is a tremendous victory for us. But what we want to do is to finish off with all the crimes he has committed in our country for a long time. Thousands of our martyrs, thousands of the political prisoners which are right now in Iran, and all the crimes he has committed he will have to pay for. And we believe that his just leaving the country is not the end of it. It should not be the end of it for the American people either.
Donna Mascahel of the Iranian Students Association speaking above the roar of the crowd attending the convention in Oakland.
Earlier in the day, it was reported that the Shah would be leaving Iran temporarily, but now it's been confirmed he's given an opposition leader the mandate of forming a new civilian government. The Shah's people deny that he intends to abdicate and will stay on in Iran. In Tehran, CBS News correspondent Bert Quint has some information on the move to form a new government.
The man who has been speaking with the Shah about forming a new government is Shapur Bakhtir. He's a Paris-educated opposition politician, the number two man in the National Front, which is the major opposition group. Bakhtir said tonight, told CBS News, that the Shah promised that he would leave the country for a rest, but as Bakhtir said, he's the king. We couldn't ask him when or where he was going. The palace says the Shah isn't going anywhere for a rest or anything else, but the palace does confirm that Bakhtir has been given the job and has accepted the task of forming a new civilian government to replace the military cabinet now ruling Iran.
CBS News correspondent Bert Quint in Tehran. The United States today, in a move to keep a close eye on the situation in Iran, ordered an aircraft carrier and support ships to a standby position in approaches to the Indian Ocean. At the State Department, CBS News correspondent Marvin Kelb says the carrier Constellation will be ordered to leave the Philippines tonight. Kelb said the movements are apparently intended to bolster the spirits of America's allies and friends in the Persian Gulf area. There are reports the United States will lodge two strong protests with the Soviet Union over Moscow's charge that Washington was interfering in the internal affairs of Iran. The Soviets tonight renewed their allegations, charging the U.S. with interference and saying the Iranians should be allowed to resolve their problems on their own.
The man charged with forming the new government, Shapur Bakhtiar, has been ousted from his post as the number two man in the opposition National Front Party because he was reportedly willing to let the Shah remain in the country. But Bakhtiar is still working at his task, and Saturday the Shah sought support for him. We talked about it with correspondent Bert Quint in Tehran.
The Shah spoke yesterday with leaders of parliament, and it's not known for sure what he said to them or they said to him, but it is believed that he asked them to support the new government that was to be formed by Mr. Bakhtiar. What we understand the parliamentarians told him is something like this. Yes, Your Highness, we will approve this government as we approve all of your governments, but this is about the last one we can go along with. If this doesn't work, we have to do something else. And that something else might be to call a constitutional assembly, draw up a new constitution to decide just how Iran should be governed.
Correspondent Bert Quint in Tehran, where palace officials are saying the Shah is not leaving the country. That's contrary to reports from the state news agency and the political opposition, which said the Shah was going out of the country for medical reasons.
The Reuters news agency says the Shah has accepted the resignation of General Gholam Reza Azari, but asked him to stay on until another cabinet is formed. The Shah already has asked opposition leader Shapur Bakhtiar to form a civilian government that would take over from Azari's military administration. Bakhtiar says he hopes to be able to do that before next weekend. Demonstrations against the rule of the Shah in the holy city of Mashhad exploded in violence Sunday. Some reports said up to 700 people were killed when troops fired on protesters. More than 30 people were reported killed and 300 injured in clashes in the western town of Desfol. American military dependents and civilians are being urged to leave Iran voluntarily. The State Department said it is not an evacuation, but in light of the violence, it would be wise for Americans to leave.